阿耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶耶 kisi dela da she nyamje komse da da she nyamje komse de jirwa de ne ge da she nyamje komse de da 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 shin je bi ja se de ra che bar jin bi gyu lo di an shen ba she sim je to ba sim je tam je le che ba chi da da nga lo da di nga lo le shen ya shara gi nang me je bi shen ya wa du bi sam lo se ya jirwa di ba so so le ba sha che sa de ne da di Some money to check a commia, Kisha, Waxing, Tisadine, commia, Kisha, Rang, Rang, the Jeba, Nash, Dissamo, Pashan, the Chancellor, Tumjo, Dunga, Tana, Simbig, Mandago, Telet, Simjet, Dunga, Javi, Tandala, Yang, Karachina, Chigi, Simbig, Some Kia, Dinig, Susu, Kiwi, Zawakare, Savan, and D. Debo, Shansimjel, Mimbo, Show, Simjo, Commiagi, Commiagita, Dashen Yamjo, Comtan, Dinir, and the Kissing Shoe.
Kiri in Ara, Kisho, 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 Kisho presentation on equalizing and exchanging self for others. So we spoke about how to engage in that meditation. And so you remember we looked at what the meaning of exchanging self for others is. And this is this mind that we all have, this mind that is primarily concerned with our own happiness and ourselves not experiencing any problems and difficulties. This we need, is what we need to exchange, and exchange it for a mind that is primarily concerned about the happiness of others, a mind that is primarily concerned about others being freed from suffering. So this is what is being exchanged. The self-cherishing mind we are endeavoring to exchange for the other-cherishing mind. And then, and this other cherishing mind is a mind that is always focused on the achievement of the happiness of others, helping others to be freed from suffering completely, and thereby engaging in activities to bring this about, and also dedication of all the merit that is accumulated from meditating in this way and from engaging in a variety of activities, dedicating all this merit so that it ripens into in the continuum of others, and others experience the happiness that comes from our own endeavors.
That dini ma shue je kising ki ma din ma da shin nyam je kom na ni ma ta jin ba san ye chim ne de en sim chen ha ju mo na sim ji yin ne ga le ya ne da shin nyam je ka ne ka de kom ba he che da din ni ge gom bi ge kom yo de da en che bo ka ne ka de ju wa le sa ji ane
Tonight we'll continue where we left off in the middle of page 232, where we're looking at a story, the final story, of how the sentient being who would later become the Buddha, when he was an ordinary being such as ourselves, how he practiced equalizing and exchanging self for others, as well as what benefits came from this practice that he engaged in.
那今年子啊，哎呀，结果，但你妈那生意怎么样的？你妈上班也累了呀？那结果就结完了，结果做那些去，肯定结不得的。嗯，那今年的结完了以后，就，俺的结果被这么大呀了呀，被这么年了些呀，俺那被先生家他们就在外边在外接接，先生家东啊，差不多三百多啊，你还有多大了呢？
So we started looking at this story last week where it was about the lifetime of the being that would later become or eventually become the Buddha. So in this lifetime he was a king called Jewel Crest. And this king was motivated to alleviate all beings from suffering, and he governed his kingdom motivated by the principles of the Dharma, and he used all his resources to try and free others from suffering, try and bring happiness to others, even so far as sacrificing his own physical well-being or his own body for the welfare of others. This king, Jewel Crest, was renowned for his practice of generosity. He would do whatever he could and give whatever he had so as to be of benefit to others. And he did so without any regard for his own welfare, but it was always concerned about the benefit of others. So now we take up where we were in the last time, in the middle of page 232. And at one point, a student of a famous teacher, of a Rishi, came to see him. And so the student came to King Jewel Crest, and the king asked him, "What can I do for you?" So the student replied, "My teacher has now grown old and he's infirm, and he doesn't have any children of his own, and he doesn't have an attendant, and so he's old and weak and poor and unable to care for himself properly. He's unable to gather food or go to the market and the like. So please, can you give me your son so as to care for my teacher?"
So the
king had been requested to actually give both his wife and his son, and the king spontaneously agreed, as was his habit, of doing whatever he could for others. So he gave his wife and son to the students to offer to his teacher. And then at the same time, a king who had recent king from another kingdom who had recently partook in a feast with King Jewel Crest, he had returned to his own kingdom, and he had been remembering with great desire the elephant, this great elephant that King Jewel Crest owned, and so he wanted this elephant for himself. So knowing that King Jewel Crest does whatever he can to fulfill the wishes of others, he then sent a minister to go and request this elephant, to be given this elephant. So when the request was made, then King Jewel Crest apologized and said, actually, I've already given that elephant away to one of my own ministers. So I would love to give it to King Hartu India, but I've already given it away. So when King Hartu Endure heard this, he didn't believe this. He thought he was being deceived. So he got angry and he threatened to invade King Jewel Crest's kingdom and take the elephant by force. When King Jewel Crest heard this threat from King Hartu Endure, he expressed his astonishment, because they had been good friends, and yet at the drop of a hat, in a mere moment, then their relationship completely turned around from being close friends to enemies. And so his response to this threat of war was to reflect on impermanence, on the lack of stability in samsaric relationships. And moreover, he was aware that if he engaged in battle with King Hartu India, he would be able to easily win this war. But he, from deep within, he wanted only act as a king in accordance with the Dharma. And the thought of taking life and causing tremendous harm, this was abhorrent to him. So rather, he chose to flee from his kingdom rather than engage in war. And at that, when he made this decision to flee, at that point, four solitary realizers, they appeared before him, and they said, actually, your decision to flee is a good decision. Come with us, and we'll go to a forest.
Buddhi, Jimbo, the Buddhi, and Chazangi, the same day, Chase, Pumades, Jebo le amaris lamna manye ma che jebo du ste ta jebo khoro ma de che ta jebo khoro chi chanda lu bo dor chi do bin si yo ta de ta nga ju ge kha bi ge ka nga chi de ta chin jebo ma ro che se de ne khoro su bi shu wa ten je an chi sem je shu jin de pha jebo le ya de ne shu bi ne ta da jebo de ba ina ta ko ma chi go ro ba ma chi na ta mi mong bo ji pha su su che ka nga shu chi gin da ne jebo ge di cha sa So, you get a city, you get a table, the Chasan, Jala, and Kangba, Chasan, the Nigida, Shansim Jelia, Ganga Chesare, Danga Drop and the Shansim Jelly, Digi Ganga, the Sidure, Shansim Jelly, Digi Yonada, Napa Drop and that you do the Maggie Kangba Jala, Kaleshana, Karsina, Kiva, Minusamje, Tushin, Shansim Jen, Digi Chedu, and Pachimba, the Trevor.
Dada Kerandi, Kelsiki Kolade, Akumatun, Dada Sonata.
Deji buudi chero che laro jimba daro wa
che chaso
che chase che chawa re de mate nye le ne te du chero che de shanda lumbo de ge ta pe ne mate tangan zu le jema ku ku re sa de pa shu wa tem ba le ta do ro che de ta ma ro re che sa zu de de ro che sa shu wa tem ba ro de no de ge bo ga ma nyen ba che ne ne ro ba de ka sa ne bu ma te ba ne mi jimba lo che ko ka ga chi go ko ka ga se ye de na le che ba le Jenda, Jebo Goron, Drego, the Major Boyna, and then Jenda Marche, Jepasu, so Pasu Sede Mangutangu, Ganga Mango Tigres, Shans, Tiki Dubia, Chido, and Pajis Driver.
So previously, when the king had been requested to give his son to the Rishi, then many people around him said, "Don't give your child. We will need your son one day, the prince one day, we will need him. Please don't give him." But the king still gave his child because he wanted to help others in any way that he could. And likewise now, when he was faced with the threat of warfare, rather than responding by gathering his own army and engaging in battle, he chose to rather flee the palace and leave behind all the comforts of his kingly life, rather than cause the death and the harm to others.
Dene da jebo do sa ro da lumbo dile jebo yo ma de dene de medio da kon du ge ta lumbo di ge mima di ge da lumbo di ge sa sa chi ge chi ge de re che che de ko mi chong di ro so yi ro so chi ge xi da kon du ke xin ye ma ji be bu di a ne zhang song ji li ya zhe ba de ya jiang a ma du li ya di long a zhou wa zhang song zhe le gan lumbo le gou du zhe sa dene che che kon du de che che a ne zhang song zhe le ya qin a ne jebo ge ke xin jebo ge qiao le ya bu ji pu yo re ဒီဟန်ကြာကသူရနာရောချေစံသူလုံပါလေရအဲ့ဒီကြေဘောရောမာရစကူဒုစစံဒီနာရောချေစေနန်ညာကြမဟာရှင်ရှင်နန်ဒီမေတ္တာဆောဒီရရဲ့တဲ့တော့တဲ့ချင်းဒီနုံပါလေချေဒီနဒါဖနိစမာကြရင်လပ်ချေခွန်သူကြေဘောတွေ့ကျူရောတွေ့ကျူရောဒီနခွန်သူကြီးဒါမာလင်းနေဒီပူဒီကြေဘောစောချေချေခွန်သူကြီးမာကြပ်ချေနမာဒီခွန်သူထောပါလေချေဖြစ်ချင်းကြေဘောမာတောင်ဘောကြရင်ဆက်ဒီဖြောရတဲ့
Now the king at the departed his kingdom, he went into the forest, and at that time the kingdom was facing attack, so and they were now without their king. So his ministers went to the Rishi to whom the prince had been given and requested that the prince could he please return to the kingdom because the kingdom now was facing imminent threat. And then the Rishi agreed. And the prince returned to his kingdom, gathered the troops, and engaged in warfare, which he easily won.
ရန်လောအောင်ကြီးပူပူတန်ကြွကြလာချက်သာပြကြွကြလာချက်သာပြဂျင်ဘတ်တန်ဒါဆိုဆိုပူပူဒီနေမီတဲရောချက်လာတဲ့ဖာတဲဒီနေ့ကတဲနေအဲ့ဂျင်ဘတ်တန်ဂျင်မေညံလဲကြဲကြဲရန်ကြီးတူကကန်လာဆက်ပါရင်တဲ့တူဆမ်ချူဆန်တဲကြီးဂျင်ဘတ်တန်ဒီနေ့ကရန်ရန်ကြီးတီကြီးတူပြဲအဲ့ဒါမှာတော့ကြပ်ချက်ဒီနေ့ချီတော့ရန်ဒီကြီးတူပြဲရန်တာလျာအန်လောင်ကိုချီမီတဲဆာရဲတခုမှအရှိလို့သူခေါ်စံသူလင Dinigi
So what we're seeing, the meaning that the story is presenting is that the King Shul Crescent was engaged in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. So he had this motivation. This motivation was governed by he will do anything to benefit others. He had taken on the responsibility of doing whatever he could to bring happiness to others, and whatever he could to free others from suffering, no matter how small or great the suffering was. So he had this motivation in a very powerful, sustained way. And so due to this motivation, he had offered his own body to beings before, and we heard about that last week. And we've also seen how he would give his material possessions up for others, and he would even give his loved ones up for others. In other words, he would do whatever he could to be of benefit to others. And so he was clearly engaging in practices of generosity to be of others. But then when the situation came where he was faced with the decision to respond in a harsh manner, in a manner that is not in accordance with the Dharma. In other words, when he needed to respond with warfare so as to counter the threat that was coming from the other kingdom, he chose not to do that, not to engage in activity contrary to the Dharma, but rather to give up the power, the prestige, and all the comforts that come with being a king, and flee to live an ascetic life in a forest. So here again, he was giving up all these comforts and joys, that worldly joys that he has, so as not to harm others. So that is the meaning of what we're seeing here. This is how he is practicing, how he's engaging in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. So hearing this story, most likely several doubts arise. For example, so someone approaches him and says, "My teacher needs a servant, can I have your child?" And he says, "Sure, you can have my child." And that sounds a little strange, because it's, on one hand, he's thinking about the welfare of this old man who needs someone to care for him, but it doesn't really sound like he has the best interest of his child at heart. So it's quite possible that one has such doubts.
And 这个人家说的了呀，学就学，学不来判断吧。俺不可能嘞，那缺个老将去呀，过不了啊，过不过我们也不来，过不了啊。在那个呢，江巴的在我年纪个，过面个年龄去呀，过不了啊。对，俺在那个年龄去呢，得了呀，罗芒果去呢，得了呀，说说个龙宝怕赔钱先了呀，俺判断结什么结的呀？个，俺过不了了吧？直接这个也不给，在那些过个创安子。
谢谢，俺先来判别个三百公里当去，俺不可能嘞，今天咱们年纪高呀，六十来个月，俺七八十岁了，不要吧？咱，那平时装修拿了点呢？俺那俺姐夫不给你三千，俺那俺姐来些，俺那没了，这个干那都在打打，今天给俺娘家要了吧？咱今天给咱姐夫接回来，今天给缺个六千钱，咱过个忙不碰不了，碰到那个月吧，欠钱，俺今天给接回来吧？
So such a doubt would be well founded. However, the king's motivation is quite clear in that he wanted to be of benefit to others. But others, of course, also included his son, the prince of the kingdom. So he would have given advice to his son. You now are going to go and live with this rishi. This is an excellent opportunity for you to train with a great master and to develop yourself. You will have the opportunity to serve someone who's weak and frail, to train in the teachings that he receives from you, and you have the opportunity to develop a good heart. And for staying with him a while, for a long time, and studying with him and developing yourself, you'll give rise to minds such as love and compassion and the like. And then in the future, when you return to our kingdom, you will be of great benefit to others. So this is why I'm sending you now to go and serve as an attendant to this rishi. Whereas if you were to stay here, it's much more likely that you being known as the prince, that pride will arise in you, and you will your mind will stay poor, and you will not be of great benefit to others. Whereas now, you have a fantastic opportunity to develop yourself, to gain merit, and to develop a good heart. So it would have been with a motivation like this that he would have practiced generosity, because then benefits would come not just to the aged rishi, but also to his own son.
不会接着起来了呢，没想到就弄没呢。像这那大二娃，我不会的嘛，米地肯定弄个米地，那几个什么也不卖的，跟两个讲讲，过个来这些，要不讲讲过一个，等那个刚刚这个月份呢，有个呢，不会的，就这个嘛了吧。但米地变得什么生活，那变就是也不有钱，可能老讲也不有钱，要不起，有钱那这个可能给要不是伢辈呢，再来再话就老讲这样的，那可能就变就是也不差一个，如果起个呢，啊。
不过这个怕这些问呢，你可能这问的，你可能也不可能来提出来，就是康巴基沃啥子也不，等你再多也不，等你变就也不差的，你说说老乡就要过好，也不是够了吧？就是等你开放这个月份呢，俺们讲这个部队，哎，到像奥地利那点进去见人家那几个都是，把这一句话，这一句话的那个。
And quite possibly, if we were in a situation where we were unable to care properly for our child, and an opportunity came where there was someone who would care for them with love and would help develop their good heart, as well as ensure that they received an excellent education, they lived in comfortable conditions and the like. In other words, if the child was able to go somewhere else and receive far better education, be happy in the short and long term, etc., we would be likely to also make such a decision, because that decision would be for the welfare of our child at the forefront, and not thinking about ourselves and our own wishes. So in such a circumstances, we may well do something similar. But if the situation was, if we were sending our child somewhere where they wouldn't be cared for, they'd be mistreated and they wouldn't have good opportunities and the like, then of course we wouldn't send our child to such a situation.
是啊，俺最开始的那几位呢，俺这个干什么事呢？不可能的呀，俺那几个在外写的去，但不可能了呀，俺那忙完了，吃上也不去了，啥的什么去？俺的这个是吧？可能了，吃上去了，啥的，你过过都什么去？俺这的就是，俺爹的，就是俺这吃饱了吃的，不了，就也我。
chakwa zhen bu bu huang lian lu fiang yakwa lai bian jue yakwa cha yu jima yakwa cha zi cha na di yakwa du samji di cha nji guru wa na jebu ge zhe di ane jige ya zhang song lian bai shubu chu ni yakwa lai ko lia gang a ning jie sang a da an bu huang lu fiang ma xing ba jie dini ni bai ning jie sa jie ma ni dini ki yakwa chu na yakwa lai samji dini ki jewa jam jie tuan ni ane jewa lwa da
So in the same way that if we were faced with a situation where we were struggling to care for our own children, but there was an opportunity where they could be cared for well and long-term benefits would come to them, we may well agree to doing something like this. So that would have been the case here with the king. So that not only would the rishi benefit by having someone to take care of him, but the child would benefit too. The child would have the opportunity to receive an excellent education, to overcome the rise of pride, as well as to develop inner qualities. How then should we relate to this story here? So the way not to relate to it is to take it as literal instructions for ourselves. Rather, we need to use our wisdom and see that this is something where the meaning behind the story is something we should adopt. We're not here being encouraged to go home and give away our loved ones and all our possessions and even our physical body, etc. So we're not being encouraged to follow what this example literally. Rather, what we are being encouraged to do is train ourselves to see that our purpose is to be of lasting benefit to others. Our purpose is to be of real, meaningful benefit to others, to bring lasting benefit to others as well as temporary benefits, and this means bringing them happiness as well as freeing them from suffering. And so this is the mind to generate this mind, we need to engage in this practice of equalizing and exchanging self for others. In particular, giving up the selfish mind, the self-cherishing mind, and rather putting the happiness or the needs of others at our forefront. And if we are able to train successfully in this, we'll come to see that all our resources, the purpose of having all these resources that we do individually have, these are to serve others. So whether it's our body, our life, our material resources, whatever it is that we have, the purpose of these is to serve others, is to be of benefit to others. So here we need to, whilst engaging in this practice of cultivating the other cherishing mind, we need to generate this aspiration to do whatever I can to be of benefit to others. Whenever the opportunity comes to help others, I will do so. I will practice generosity with wisdom, and I will help others in any way that I can. And here we use the story such as this as inspiration, so as to transcend thinking about a practice of generosity is just giving material things, but to see it in a far broader way, that it's giving our time, it's giving our friendship, it's giving our setting an example. All of this can be seen as the practice of generosity if being done so as to benefit others. And so here we've been encouraged to train in this way, to develop this way of thinking through our meditation. And this is important, so we're not being encouraged to give away all our possessions or our loved ones or our body and the like, but to rather generate this heartfelt aspiration to be of benefit to others in any way we can. And if we train in this way, then when the opportunity comes to meet other, to be benefit others, we will take this opportunity, we'll embrace this opportunity, and we will serve others. We'll give them our time, we'll give them show them kindness, etc. And we'll do so wholeheartedly and joyfully because we've put in the time into training our mind in this way. If we don't train our mind in this way, we probably won't even notice the opportunity when we can be of benefit to others. So that is how we should come to understand this story and stories like these. We're encouraged to engage in this practice so as to overcome the mind of miserliness that's still so strong within us. This mind of miserliness is, of course, it's a very selfish mind. It's a mind that is thinking primarily about oneself. And so if we are under the control of this mind of miserliness, we are dominated by a mind that's saying, I want this, I want that, I want that. It's not a mind about that is concerned with others, but is concerned with oneself. So if such a mind is dominant within us, any thought about for the benefit of all sentient beings, this is mere words. There is no substance to such an aspiration. So we need to engage in practice of generosity, or in other words, we need to meditate in the way that is that we encourage to here in this story, so that we can start to generate this wish to be of benefit to others in any way that we can. And we start to give rise to the aspiration to fulfill the needs of others in any way that we can. And in this way then, when these opportunities present themselves to us, we will embrace those opportunities and we'll help others. And it may be we'll help them materially, it may be we help them by giving our time or sharing the skills that we have and helping others with the skills that we have. But if we have trained in this way, when that opportunity comes, we will firstly see it, and secondly, we'll want to engage in helping others, and we'll do so with a joyous mind. If we haven't trained in this way, we probably won't even be aware of the opportunity, or if we are, we'll think, well, there's so many reasons why I'm not going to help. And those reasons will dominate us. We will believe those, we will believe such excuses. So therefore, it's important to engage in this training. And doing so, we can liken in a worldly sense to, say, athletes. So athletes or sports people, they weren't world champions from the outset. They trained diligently for years to get to that position. And likewise, all of you in your various workplaces and in your life, you have various skills. And those skills you have developed over time. You didn't walk into your workplace and be able to do things as well as you can now. All of these skills you trained in over time. So that is what we're being encouraged to do here. Train in the mind of generosity so as to overcome this mind of miserliness and thereby give rise to a genuine wish to be of benefit to others. So another point to make that's important when we hear stories such as this and others is that we should not take them literally, but we need to think about the meaning that is behind these stories. So I've already said a bit so far tonight about the meaning that's behind the story, but there's more there's more to say on this. So what we see here with this, how the king has practiced, so we should take this as our inspiration and we should train in this way to generate the mind that I will do whatever I can for others when the opportunity comes. If I must give my body, I will do so. If I must give some or even all of my resources, I will do so. Whatever skills and talents and abilities I have, when I have the opportunity, I will share these with others. I'll help with the others in this way and not take any regard for the cost to myself. So that is the example that the king who later became the Buddha has set for us, and that's how we should train in our meditation. But what isn't said explicitly in the story, but we should know that the meaning is also there, is that when we have the opportunity to engage in the practice of generosity, we should take it, But we may only take this opportunity on a level of inspiration, even when the opportunity to help someone is right before us. So what I mean by that is you need to always practice with intelligence, with wisdom. Don't separate these two. You need to practice with wisdom, not be governed by emotion. This is very important. So to give some analogies which are very clear, if a house is on fire and someone is trapped inside, we see from the story, it's clear that the king would run inside and save that person without any regard to his own life. But we must use our intelligence and see, can I do this safely, or am I likely to die in this process? Or likewise with someone drowning in the river, can we save them? Is it realistic, or am I likely to also drown? So we need to use our intelligence in this way, because we have a precious human rebirth. We have the opportunity to make long-lasting change to ourselves in terms of our mental development, and thereby the impact we can have on others. So therefore we need to use our intelligence whenever an opportunity comes to practice generosity. So for example, like we've seen in the story, if someone comes and knocks on your door tomorrow and says, I love your car, I don't have one, please give it to me. Use your intelligence. And based on your intelligence, not on emotion, make your decision. And if your decision is to give the car, then give your car. But don't necessarily do that. Because afterwards you will have problems and you may not be able to get to work, etc. So it's important to use your intelligence here. And the Buddha has taught this elsewhere. So the Buddha taught explicitly that the practice of giving one's body should only be done by Arya Bodhisattvas. It shouldn't be done by other beings, even those who are bodhisattvas but are on the paths of accumulation and preparation. And the reason is because of the preciousness of our human rebirth, the opportunities that can come, the benefit that can come for the long term through utilizing this life well. If we severely hurt ourselves or kill ourselves, even with a good motivation to benefit others, that opportunity will be lost. The reason why it's different from Arya Bodhisattva, a bodhisattva who's on the path of seeing or meditation, is that they have control over their rebirth. So they can immediately be sure of receiving another precious human rebirth. So we're not in that position. So therefore, the Buddha has very clearly said that we should not practice generosity with giving our life to others. So returning to the story, so I think at the top of page 233. Now the war had been fought between the son and the king hard to endure, and so the king hard to endure, he lost, he returned to his kingdom. But the karmic result, an immediate ripening karmic result from his harmful mind, his mind of strong desire and anger, was that his kingdom then became inflicted by an epidemic and famine. So when he inquired what could he do to resolve this dire situation that the population was now enduring, he was advised the only thing that could be done, the only solution, would be to gain the protuberance on the head of King Jewel Crest. So you remember last week we heard that he has this protuberance, and from this comes some metta that can turn metals into gold and the like. So he was told that only by being offered this by King Jewel Crest would he be able to cure the epidemic as well as the famine within his kingdom.
So
now the King Hartu and Dia had been told that he required this protrusion to be cut off the head of King Jewel Crest. That was the only solution to the hardships that his kingdom was now enduring. And he said, but he's never going to give this to me. I've just gone to war with him because I wanted his elephants. Our friendship is lost. He's not going to give this to me. But then his advisors said, no, this king, he's renowned for fulfilling the wishes of all beings. He's never said no. He won't say no. So the king then sent an emissary to go and request this protrusion. And so the emissary went to see the king, who was dwelling in the forest. And at the same time, the king's queen, who had been sent to look after the old rishi, she was in the forest collecting roots and leaves for them to eat. Anyway, she was collecting these, and she saw the emissary coming from the other kingdom, and she took fright and called out. And so the king, who was also dwelling in the forest, heard this, and he rushed over and saw his queen, but also saw the emissary. The emissary then said to the king, please, can you give us your protrusion and explain the situation that had come about due to the harmful intent of their king? So he then explained the whole situation and made his request.
Mm.
So hearing that there was this epidemic and famine spreading through King Hartu India's kingdom, King Jewel Christ gave rise to compassion for the suffering that they were experiencing. And he immediately said, you can cut off this the protrusion on the crown of my head. And he said this without any concern as to whatever problems he will endure due to this. Now, of course, when this protrusion then was cut off his head, he experienced tremendous pain because he had something, you know, a large wound now appeared on his head from having this protrusion amputated. So he experienced tremendous pain, but his natural reaction to this pain was to immediately become aware of the suffering of others. And he saw the pain that he was experiencing from having this protrusion amputated in the context or in relation to the suffering that others saw. And he saw that this pain he was experiencing was nothing compared to the suffering that others, in particular those in the hotels, are experiencing. So his mind was not dominated at all by this pain he was experiencing. Rather, compassion, very powerful compassion, arose within him for the suffering of others. And he reflected repeatedly on the suffering of the beings in the hell realms. Due to this arisal of this powerful mind of compassion, there are a number of auspicious signs. There was an earthquake and lights from the heavens, etc. But with this mind of strong compassion present within the king, he actually fainted, though, because of course he had this wound. And whilst he was unconscious, then people came from his kingdom, those who were in his that were from his palace, his companions from the palace, as well as his ministers and the like. And when they came, they woke him from his unconscious state and asked him what had happened. Now he was asked what was going on, so he explained the whole situation to them after wiping away the blood that had run down his face. And they said, but why did you... We don't understand. Is this, what was your motivation? And so he explained that this was the only way that he could help these beings who are suffering from famine and from an epidemic. So he was going to get nothing from this. He was just this tremendous pain. But he had to do something to help others.
Now,
And he further went on to say, I can honestly say I only have one wish or one motivation, and that is to be able to free all beings from suffering. However, his companions and ministers had some doubt. They said, well, what you've done was clearly beneficial because the epidemic and famine have ended, but you have experienced tremendous pain. So we're wondering if you really had, if to be a benefit to others was your sole motivation.
The king
insisted that he had no ulterior motive. There was no self-interest in his acts of generosity. And he said, if what I say to you now is true, that I did this solely for the welfare of others, then may my body be restored to the same state it was in before. And so, of course, then his body was restored to how it was just before. And at that point, then his ministers requested that he now please return to the kingdom. But he refused. He said, no, I'm going to stay here in isolation. I'm not going to return to my palace. And at that moment, the same four solitary realizers also joined them, and they said to the king, You've shown such kindness and skill in helping those in helping your enemies. Now please return with your entourage to your kingdom and help your friends as well. So he accepted the request or the advice from the solitary realizers, and then he returned to his kingdom, and he was of great benefit to his people.
We
come to the end of this story, and I think it's quite likely that there'll be some doubts in your mind as to whether things really happened like this, where there was some king with this protrusion that was able to turn gold, iron into gold, etc., and all these other various things, if they actually happened in this way. So yes, of course, it's quite likely that these kinds of doubts will arise. This story is found in the sutras, of course, in the life stories of the Buddha. and in the biographies of the Buddha. So it's found there in the sutras. But whether it happened exactly like this or not, it's difficult to say. So to have some doubts is quite normal.
So it's
impossible to say whether if everything happened like in the story, but we certainly do know in modern times that our bodies can be used literally for the benefit of others. So we know about organ donation after death, or the giving of a kidney whilst one is alive, or the giving of blood to others and blood products and the like to help others. And also from the natural remedies, the traditional medicine of some countries, they use animal parts such as the liver of a particular bear and some part of a deer, I don't know, that these are also used so as to heal people from illnesses. So in this way we can see that things that maybe weren't possible in the past are possible now. I mean, it's quite likely things were possible in the past that these days aren't possible anymore.
So when
the king cut off or had this protrusion cut off, he of course experienced tremendous pain from this. So that's something that we can relate to. That if we were to have something cut off, severed, we would also experience tremendous pain. But this was something he did voluntarily. And then what we also saw here was that through the power of his prayer, he immediately healed. So that quite clearly stands him out as someone different from ourselves. If we voluntarily have a limb severed, through the power of our prayer, it's not going to reappear. So therefore, it is far better that we follow the advice of the Buddha and leave these kinds of offering of one's body to Arya Bodhisattvas, because they, due to the power of their prayers and their virtue and the power of the mind that they're wisdom realizing emptiness, they are able to engage in these acts of generosity without harming themselves in the same way that we would ourselves. So therefore, when the time comes and we generate the strong wish to help others in any way that we can, we should always do so with wisdom and being aware of our own limitations.
Dashen Yamjokom Jerang Lu to Shana Chimba Tea, Denigi, Dashen Yamjokom Shen, Duma Say to Nala, Rangi, that's so such a ludic and tupe Chimba Tan to Chin, Jabber, Dashen Yamjokom Goros, Sandinida, Divida, Pedigi, and Lubjer, Kalingo, Labna, Nadinigi, and the Gabogi Lu Chimba Tan Shengi Duma.
Meaning then that we should take away from the story is that we should train in the same way as this king had done over lifetimes, where he had trained in the meditation of equalizing and exchanging self for others. And he would have done so to the extent that he had given rise to the sincere wish to do anything within his ability to be of benefit to others. So whether that's giving all his material goods, whether it's giving his skill and ability, whether it's even giving his own body, he would gladly and happily do this. And this, and through training in this way, he was this mind of being of benefit to others, and the wisdom that came, that would also come about in terms of thinking about the greater good, this too would have been developed within him. And through training in this way, then when he got the opportunity to practice, he was able to do so in a way that was truly beneficial to others as well as to himself. So what's meant by that is he was able to practice, like we saw here at the end, where he was able to give this protrusion and experience pain from this, and others were benefited, but he too was benefited in that he accumulated so much virtue that through the power of his prayer he was immediately able to heal. So benefit came to himself and to others. So we should take this as inspiration to train mentally in the same way. Because through engaging in this meditation on equalizing and exchanging self for others, and giving rise to this other cherishing mind, giving rise to this mind that sees the need to fulfill the happiness of others as being much more important than ourselves, in this way we'll accumulate a lot of virtue. And this virtue then will help us in our various practices. It will help us in our accumulation of merit, as well as our accumulation of wisdom and the like. So this will all slowly start to accrue further and further. And Sorry, and in our meditation, we meditate that whenever I have the opportunity and I come across a being who will benefit from being able to benefit from my blood, may I give my blood. If a being will benefit from my flesh, may I give my flesh. If a being will somehow benefit from my skin, may I give my skin. And we train in this way mentally, we will accumulate virtue, which will help us in our practice, which will help us also with our development of wisdom. And then when eventually we are sufficiently developed, we can then practice in this way. And we will practice in this way that will be of benefit to others, and we ourselves will benefit through the accumulation of virtue. Now we are not at the stage, so therefore this should just be done on the level of meditation, of aspiration. Because if we were to practice like this now, maybe some benefit will come to the other, but certainly not to us. Because our mind will be dominated by the suffering, and therefore loss will come. So this then brings us to the end of these this presentation on equalizing and exchanging self for others. So we've, over a number of weeks, we've looked at this presentation now in some detail. We've looked at how to do this practice. So now you should have a good understanding of this practice, and therefore my request is that you engage in this meditation, and you do so repeatedly over a sustained period. Because if you do so, then certainly, or for certain, after some time, then the wish to be of benefit to others will grow within you, and will eventually come to the strength where the happiness, the welfare of others is predominant for you. Your own happiness, this isn't so important. You may motivate it primarily to be of benefit to others. And in your meditation, you imagine situations where you can use your material resources, where you use your skills and ability, where you use even your life, your physical body, to be of benefit to others. And you do so with the aspiration that others are suffering. They don't know how to accumulate the causes to free themselves from suffering. They are mired in ignorance. I have this knowledge, I have this this wisdom, and I need to utilize this to be of benefit to others, to make connection to others, and to help others in any way that I possibly can. And meditate giving rise to the strong wish to be of benefit to others in any way that one can. And then also combine this with the understanding that to be truly skillful, I need to become a Buddha, because it's only a Buddha that knows the minds of others in finest detail, and thereby can relate to others in the most skillful way, aware of their individual needs and aspirations and likes and dislikes. So therefore, give rise to this wish to practice and accumulate merit so that one can attain the state of Buddhahood for the benefit of others. And so this is how one should meditate. And then outside of meditation, this mind, the more familiarity one has with this mind, the more dominant it will be as we go about our everyday activities. So here one should, as was said clearly tonight, always engage with others with wisdom. And when the wish arises to be of benefit to others, one should only engage in others under the influence of one's own wisdom, and not solely under the basis of emotion. So through our meditation, we'll give rise to the wish to help others, and we'll give rise to the aspiration to meet opportunities where we can be of benefit to others. And then when we meet those opportunities, we should help others, but only on the basis of using our own wisdom, our own intelligence. So for example, we shouldn't physically help others in a way that will put our life in danger, or where we potentially will harm ourselves. So we need to use our wisdom. Or in terms of practicing material generosity, we should always do so, but in accordance with what we realistically can do. We shouldn't do more than we can realistically afford, because we'll end up harming ourselves and thereby limiting our spiritual growth and our ability to grow and be of even greater benefits in the long term. So this is an important point, to ensure that wisdom is our practice is infused with wisdom, or infused with wisdom. Then furthermore, the way that we can express this wish to be of benefit to others is, for example, we all go to work and we do a variety of activities at work, because we need to earn our living. So this is something we need to do, but we should generate a motivation that this work I'm going to do with a motivation to be of benefit to others. And even if the work that one directly does isn't something that's clearly of benefit to others, then one can be sure that those that I work with, my fellow colleagues, or those that I encounter in my daily life, that I will be of benefit to them in any way I can. I will show kindness to them, I will show friendship to them, I will use the skills and the qualities that I have as a human being, I will use these to be of benefit to others. And in this way, one can practice generosity to all those one encounters. And likewise, in terms of material generosity, when we eat, when we drink, think of the beings within us. So their only source of nourishment is us eating. So practice generosity to those beings within us. And then when we encounter opportunities where we can go beyond what we'd normally do, and we can, in a voluntary way, offer help to others, this we should also do. And so this could be physically helping others when we can, or being there for others in terms of giving our time, giving our friendship, showing kindness to others and the like. So this too we should do in accordance with our abilities. So in this way, we can be skillful and practice generosity in everything we do, but do so in accordance with our own abilities. So this is a skillful way that we can engage with others. And then preceding this, each day in our meditation, we should engage in this meditation of equalizing and exchanging self for others, giving rise to the wish to be of greatest benefit to others in the short term, but most importantly in the long term.
Over the last few months, we've looked at a number of practices concerned with the generation of bodhicitta. So we've just finished equalizing, exchanging self of others. And before that, we looked at the four immeasurables, and we did that within the context of talking about the six cause and one result, which you'll remember will be seeing all beings as having been our mothers, recalling their kindness, generating the wish to repay that kindness, and love, compassion, and mind or special intention. So those were the six causes resulting in the results of the arisal of bodhicitta. So we've looked at all of that over the last few months. So these are the various meditations that the bodhisattva should engage in. And what are the practices that the bodhisattva engages in? So that we'll start next week. That's the six perfections. So we'll start with those in the middle of page 234 next time. So an analogy that I like to make this clear is that if we think of the Buddha, for example, as a soldier, so a soldier generally needs to protect the country from harm, from enemies and the like. And the soldiers come in two types. There are those that are uniformed, and there are those who don't wear uniforms, who are undercover. So there are these two types of soldiers. And but they have the same function, and that is to protect the nation from their enemies. So this then can be likened to ourselves. So those who wear uniform, those soldiers, can be likened to the ordained who wear their robes. And those soldiers who do not wear robes or undercover would be like yourselves. And so all of you, as soldiers, all of us, we need to generate the motivation to defend all sentient beings, defend all those within our nation. So this cultivation of this motivation is something we've been looking at over these last few months when we've spoken about bodhicitta and how to cultivate bodhicitta through equalizing and exchanging self with others, or the four immeasurables, the six cause and one effect method. So this is the generation of the motivation of the bodhisattva soldier. But the soldier, of course, also has weapons to engage with the enemy. So what is the enemy that the bodhisattva encounters or engages with? These are the afflictive minds, these harmful minds, because it's really only the afflictions that cause us suffering in the short and the long term. So the true enemy is no external being, but it is our inner afflictions. These are the true enemy. So now, if now the soldier to overcome their enemy needs a good motivation or a training, so we've spoken here about how to develop bodhicitta, and the weapons or the tools that the bodhisattva will use come next week. Those are the six perfections. So we start with that next week. So it's a little late. So sorry, I've taken up lots of your time tonight. So we won't take questions tonight, but if you have any, then there's always next week. So thank you and good night.
Yeah. Yeah.